Dane here with you until 4 p.m. and National Food Bank Day, and a day when it seems like there are disasters absolutely everywhere. It seems like an appropriate time calling in from his command center, one of the foremost figures in preparedness, having been on the ground during hurricanes for FEMA, built programs for the Red Cross, state-of-the-art disaster response systems for Walgreens, Sony, and led the way at Amazon's corporate center, and now is the director of disaster services for the one and only Feeding America, one of the foremost figures and leading voices in preparedness. Vince Davis, welcome to WGN.
Hello, Dane. How are you this afternoon?
I am probably better than you are. I know that these are, I don't want to say exciting times, they are busy times. That is for sure. When the hurricane happened, I know that you guys, you know, with all the efforts with Feeding America, were mobilizing, and then out of the blue, the floods came. And so talk a little bit about just how crazy things are these days.
Yeah, it's been quite challenging since really last Monday or before, because as we were monitoring, and we do monitor all weather-related events that happen around the country. We hit the ground running down in Louisiana. As soon as the storms passed through, we started to gear up our feeding operations in that area. And then in the last 24 hours, of course, New York, the record flooding, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and on the East Coast. So we are stretched out in various fronts as an organization around the country trying to support feeding people who are already food insecure before the disasters, and now even more people who are in need of food.
And this comes just on the heels of what has been the pandemic and all of the food insecurity that's been on the front page related to that. And then it just is compounded by the weather situation. As a guy who's been in and around all of this for many years, for a couple decades now, and we seem, and I always wonder, and some of the questions that we get asked is there more things happening now? Are things worse now? Or is it just that there's more media covering it? Talk about just how, just the situation is that there's just a lot more going on, right, in every area of disasters.
Well, no question about it. I mean, last year was a great example. We had a record-smashing 22 weather and climate disasters that killed at least 262 people, injured scores more people. The wildfires out west in California, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, a drought and heat wave in the central U.S., 3 major tornado outbreaks, 7 hurricanes, 10 severe weather events, of course, the Texas, you know, hailstorms and Texas winter storm, and then again record rainfall in New Jersey, again hurricanes. Nearly 50 people have died in the last 24 hours out on the East Coast. This is not an aberration. This is the new normal. People have to learn to expect that these things that are happening more frequently, with greater intensity, and generally in places where they've never happened before. For example, New York had record rainfall in New York City. And then a week later, they had more record rainfall.
You and I have talked a little bit about you can't call it a 100-year storm or a 1,000-year flood if it's happening week to week. You can't necessarily call it that. When you see some of the news reports, you have people calling out saying, well, where's FEMA or where's the government or where's this or where's that? And so as the director of disaster services for Feeding America, give a little insight for those people that they know the name. They know obviously the general work area of helping with food insecurity and bringing food to people. But if you can, explain to the listeners, Feeding America is sort of an overarching entity, right, that supports a lot of these on the ground folks.
Well, without question, what we're doing, for example, down in Louisiana is supporting our member food banks. We have a 200-member food bank network that's spread out across the country. There's food banks in every state. Some states have multiple food banks. In Louisiana, there happens to be 5 major food bank organizations. Those food banks are not just pantries or warehouses. They are full-fledged operations that feed people every day. Thousands of people throughout the country. When there's a disaster, many of those organizations or those food banks are affected by the floods themselves. And then the agencies, what we call agencies, that are the food pantries, the churches, the community-based organizations that are boots on the ground to distribute food to people in need, those organizations are also impacted by the disaster. So there's a disaster within the disaster, if you will, in that we have to support our people, who are doing the work, but also support the food banks who are getting increased demand from organizations like the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and, you know, Operation Barbecue and other organizations that are doing hot meals, where we actually support some of the food that's used to fix those hot meals.
It's interesting to see how it all works together, and it's sort of this ecosystem. So let's talk a little bit about how to prioritize sort of resources. When you hear some of the local leaders in New York and they say, you know, having announced that there's a record flood, and that's just on top of the record one from the week before, that this is, and as you echoed, that it's the new normal. And so at Feeding America, do you guys look at it like that, that it's just there's going to be a continuous sort of stream of these things? Or is it trying to put out specific, not necessarily fires, so maybe those are the wrong words to use, but doing it situationally? How do you approach it?
Well, we have, a very sophisticated network of food banks. These folks, for example, are Feeding America member food banks in Louisiana. Second Harvest Food Bank of Greater New Orleans, and Acadiana is the major food bank in New Orleans. The Greater Baton Rouge Food Bank is the second major food bank that's been impacted by this disaster. Those folks are operating right now. New Orleans is operating under generator power. There's no power in the city of New Orleans.
Wow.
90% of the people in New Orleans are still without power going on day six. So in addition to being on generator power and having to make sure that they have enough generator fuel to keep things going, they are responding to doing things like providing now 5,000 hot meals a day from that facility in New Orleans. 14 of their staff members lost their homes in the disaster, but they're still working despite their own personal challenges. They're providing for as many people as they can. We're projecting, for example, out of New Orleans, the need for about 700,000 what we call shelf-stable meals, which are being requested to organizations like FEMA and the state's mass care organization. So in addition to dealing with, again, the personal issues of being part of the disaster zone, these organizations continue, our member food banks, and I can't say enough about them, continue to work around the clock to do what we do, which is feed people, make sure people have enough to eat.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. I know that our station, especially in National Preparedness Month, is supporting Feeding America and their efforts. And so there are ways, and it's a hometown team. We're based here. And obviously you mentioned, you know, the 200 member food banks across the country. It's absolutely everywhere, but the headquarters is right here in Chicago. So a point of pride on that as well. And so as much as you're doing on that right now, you've got to look back and you think about the preparedness side of it. And it wasn't natural disasters that sort of started a lot of these conversations, specifically what has turned into Homeland Security, which is the overarching agency for FEMA these days. It was 9/11. And as we approach the 20th anniversary, people are looking back, and it's one of those very rare situations where you can, almost everybody that at least was alive and of a certain age can remember exactly where they were at that time. And so, Vince Davis, just your thoughts on that, on life before 9/11, life after, and where it sort of leads us today, 20 years in, on the preparedness side.
So why, certainly, again, we're coming up on the anniversary of that really horrific and tragic event. And as I look back on it, I remember, of course, exactly where I was. I was actually driving down the expressway, down the Eisenhower Expressway, on my way to the office when I heard the news that planes had crashed into the World Trade Center. It was just an unbelievable time. In a stark picture, 20 years later, instead of what happened then, which was the country as a whole rallying around the issue of terrorism and preparedness and how we looked at terrorism in a very different way. 20 years later, you know, the number one security threat is not foreign, but domestic terrorism. And today, in stark picture, you know, even the person who at that time was credited with bringing us together, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, is now viewed by many as an extreme political caricature because of some of his post-election activity. So a lot has changed in 20 years. We never thought we'd see ourselves here with COVID-19. More importantly, we're dealing with issues that weren't really on the front burner 20 years ago because terrorism was top of mind for everybody. And how do we detect terrorists? How do we prepare for a terrorist act like 9/11? See something, say something, respond out of that movement. Department of Homeland Security was spun up to help organize the 22 agencies that are under its jurisdiction. So a lot has changed. I don't know if I could say for the better, but there's many reasons. But it doesn't take away from, although all these things can be discussed and debated, it doesn't take away from the heroic actions of so many people during that September morning 20 years ago that will forever be etched in our psyche.
You look at it in some of the conversations that I have with the kids and explaining the way that airports functioned and that you could just go up to the gate and just how many things that are part of their persistent normal that weren't part of what it was previously. One of the contrasts, and you sort of mentioned it in the last minute or so, is that it is kind of interesting. You think as we advance and as we have so many different avenues for communication, being able to share ideas and all that, and some of the advantages that could give us when we find ourselves in a situation where, you know, the country as a whole is suffering and needs to come together like we did on 9/11, is that it's become polarizing, right? And there isn't sort of this commonality, even with a common situation and even a common foe. And it is, you mentioned it too, is right, as it's, things have become more polarizing, and I don't know that in, at least in that respect, that we've advanced for the better. So Vince, as we let you go, and I know we're going to have links up for feedingamerica.org and different ways that that our listeners can get in and support not only this disaster but all the ones, unfortunately, that are coming down the road. And for you personally, I know you're pretty active on social media. Where can people go to keep up with your thoughts, your insight?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn, Vincent B. Davis, CEM, Certified Emergency Manager. You can find me on LinkedIn. Always welcome people there. You can also log into my website at preparednessmatters.net, which will give you some additional insight into some of my work on behalf of preparedness, both in neighboring communities around the country and my work with community and other organizations in this regard. So those are two places where you can always reach me.
We'll have those links up at WGNradio.com. Feeding America is lucky to have you. We're lucky to have you in on all of this stuff, especially at these trying and challenging times. And Vince, have a great weekend. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you, Dane, and you have a great and safe weekend.